Welcome back to Skin the Surface. My name is Dr. Rena Lau, and I'm your host for this week's episode. On this week's episode, we're going to dive into compounding pharmaceuticals. In our previous episodes, we mentioned certain medications that may be found at a compounding pharmacy. So what does this really mean? To help me answer this question, I'm joined by a very special guest, pharmacist Jack Korbatov. Jack has been published in major medical journals, precepted hundreds of students, and has affected the lives of many patients in the Philadelphia area and Philadelphia region. He is currently a fellow of both the American College of Apothecaries and American College of Veterinarian Pharmacists. Welcome, Jack.
Thank you.
So let's start just diving into what does a compounding pharmacist do. So can you briefly talk about your journey into pharmacy and then describe what a compounding pharmacist does?
Yeah, so I'll start with my background. I graduated from the University of the Sciences in 2011. And like many of my colleagues and my peers, I actually started in retail pharmacy. So I started at a Rite Aid. I did a little stint at CVS Pharmacy. And then when I graduated, I worked at Walmart Pharmacy for about a year. At the time, I just didn't feel like it was for me. My colleagues won't love me for saying this, but it really felt like the same thing over and over again. A lot of battles with insurance companies, too many pills being counted, and I just didn't feel like it really played to my strengths as a pharmacist. So I decided to leave. That was in September of 2012, and we opened up the Art of Medicine Compounding Pharmacy. We opened in Society Hill, and about 7 years later, about 2 years ago, we relocated to Center City into a bigger facility. So let me explain what compounding is, because it's really a broad term. But in essence, compounding is customizing medication to fit an individual's needs, wants, allergies, or sensitivities. Now, again, that's a very broad definition, so I can narrow it down to more simpler examples. So let's talk about pediatrics. Let's say a small child needs a specific medication and it's only made in tablet form, but you have a small child that can't swallow tablets. A compounding pharmacy can take that active ingredient and actually make it into a strawberry flavored suspension so that the child can take it. In dermatology, let's say a patient needs something stronger than Triluma, which is a combination of three different active ingredients in the one cream to bleach the skin. But the patient is super sensitive to tretinoin. So what a compounding pharmacy can do is they can make something like a hydroquinone 6% mixed with a steroid, but without the tretinoin that the patient is sensitive to. So again, in essence, everything is customizable for the patient and their needs.
Interesting. So do some pharmacies compound medications that are like retail pharmacies that you mentioned? Or what makes them different from, for example, Art of Medicine, a compounding pharmacy?
Yeah.
Is there a difference in the equipment, the training?
That's a good question. So the technical answer is that every pharmacy in America is allowed to compound. Mm-hmm. Now, we're talking like back in the 1800s, 1900s. Really, every pharmacy before they had drug manufacturers was a compounding pharmacy. For a while, the practice went away, but it's starting to see an increase in popularity lately because of how customizable everything is. Mm-hmm. Now, that being said, there is a huge difference between a regular, CVS type of pharmacy and a pharmacy that specializes in compounding. So it is important for both prescribers and patients to do their homework and make sure that they're getting from a reliable source.
Great, great. That's important to know. And then how can you run us through a typical regimen for compounding medication? I know it's different, how are they typically made and what type of equipment do you guys use?
Yeah, so the equipment can vary a lot. And it really is tough for me to give you what a typical regimen is. It's a little hard to work through. I mean, it really could be as simple as weighing out one powder, an active ingredient, mm-hmm. mixing it with a wetting agent and combining it into an appropriate topical base. Let's say tretinoin or, in mm-hmm. In an antioxidant cream or an ointment or a lotion. On the other extreme, we could be weighing out 7 different powders, melting a base, running the whole mix through a mixer, putting that through an ointment mill, mixing it again, running it through the ointment mill again, and finally mixing it one more time. So it really does vary. And again, that's why it's important to go to a pharmacy that actually knows what they're doing, because I think there's a conception with a lot of pharmacists out there that it really is just, you know, mixing a few ingredients into a cream and, you know, voila, something comes out that the patient can use. And it's much, much more complicated than that.
Yeah, no, that's definitely really good to know, because I didn't even think about it, you know, about the different weighing the different ingredients and the amount that you use. The concentration is so important, especially for a lot of the creams that we use. Like, as you mentioned, Triluma, you know, sometimes patients will come in and say, this lightening cream is not very effective. Can we alter the concentration of tretinoin or hydroquinone in it? So it's really nice to have a pharmacy like Art of Medicine who can, you know, they can customize it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even if you're dealing with the same ingredients and picking out, you know, certain base, there's certain, let's say you want an ointment versus a cream. Well, that does change how you mix it, what you mix it with, the inactive ingredients. So knowledge is everything. Experience is very big in compounding, especially with dermatology.
Right. So who typically regulates compounding pharmacies? Do they follow the same regulations as other drug manufacturers?
Yeah, so that's definitely a loaded question. But at the base level, every pharmacy is regulated by their respective state boards of pharmacy. Now, if there's some kind of suspicion of bad practice or some kind of illegal activity, which there has been in the past, there's definitely bad players in every field of medicine. Those types of pharmacies can definitely expect a visit from the FDA. But to answer your question, no, we aren't regulated at the same level as a manufacturer, since a typical compounding pharmacy is not mass producing drugs on that level. And, you know, something to keep in mind is, all of these manufacturers, when they make these huge batches of medication, you know, millions of doses at a time, they have to do a lot of testing since it's reaching the masses. So to keep things affordable, compounding isn't as regulated as manufacturers in order to increase patient access to those medications.
Mm-hmm. Got it. So other than some of the dermatology medications that we briefly spoke about, any other medical specialists reach out to you or prescribe compounding medications?
Yeah. Yeah. So you name the specialist and we've probably worked with them from hormone replacement to colorectal to neurology. I mean, all the way to even veterinary medicine, we'll do it. So that's the beauty of compounding. Let's take, you know, ketamine, for example. So one moment we're making topical ketamine for pruritus, for really bad itch for a dermatology patient. And the next moment we could be using that same ketamine powder to make a nasal spray for migraines. So it really does vary. That's the beauty of it.
That's great. And do you guys run your medications, compounding medications, through insurance? Are patients able to use HSA to pay for their medications? How do people typically pay for compounding medications?
Yeah, and that's another great question. So typically most insurance companies do not cover compounds. In a lot of ways, it makes things a lot simpler. We can keep things affordable for most patients. That being said, typically, I think 99% of HSAs, FSAs do pay for compounds. This is almost like a pendulum type of subject. Several years ago, every insurance company paid for it. Then we saw that drop off, and now we actually are seeing some more pay for a little bit. So it's kind of like an ever-evolving topic, you know, that can change next week. But as we sit here today, it's typically cash only.
Okay. Yeah, I know that. I mean, that definitely makes life, I believe, things a little bit easier for both the patient and in the compounding pharmacy. One other question I was just thinking about right now is, do you guys typically work with hospitals for compounding medications? Do they ever reach out to you, or veterinary hospitals like Penn Vet School or the hospital system?
Yeah, another really good question. So most compounding pharmacies are considered, I don't want to get too technical, but by the FDA, 503A type of pharmacy, where everything we dispense needs to be an individual patient prescription on the human side. On the veterinary side, we can make things for hospital use. The FDA isn't as strict or concerned with that. Now, there are pharmacies with the designation of a 503B. That's not us, but there are, I believe, a little less than 100 across America that can actually make things for human hospitals, a lot of specialty things that aren't available commercially.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, for the listeners out there, if they're going to a compound pharmacy, is there something that they should tell the compounding pharmacist before, any, you know, things that you want them to provide you with information about that maybe the provider hasn't, the prescriber has not provided you guys?
Yeah. Like, so it's definitely important for everyone to do their research. You know, if they're going to be applying something to their skin or swallowing a pill, you always want to know where you're getting it from. So the first thing a patient and a prescriber should really ask for is, you know, what kind of experience do you guys have with compounding? Now, there is, you know, we're, even though we're all regulated by the same state board, there are certain accreditations where if a pharmacy has this accreditation, it's the gold standard. You know, they're fantastic. So the accreditation that I'm talking about is PCAB. It's PCAB. Now, it's not that every pharmacy without a PCAB accreditation isn't good, but if they have one, that's kind of a seal of approval that they meet the absolute gold standard and the highest standards kind of set throughout. In terms of, you know, looking for a compounding pharmacy, some better signs of a compounding pharmacy is asking, hey, do you guys have dedicated staff for compounding? Is your pharmacist that's going to be dispensing and labeling my medication, do they only handle the compounds in the pharmacy, or do they do a mix of both? You know, because compounding definitely requires a certain amount of training and attention. And I know firsthand, if they're also dealing with the regular CVS type of medications, all their attention isn't spent, you know, in that one really important spot. So either look for a staff that, or a pharmacy that has dedicated staff, or if they're a compounding only pharmacy and that's all they handle, like us, that's probably a good sign as well.
Great. And then just letting your compound pharmacist know about like any allergies. Sometimes in our electronic medical system, it does process that. But sometimes I remember I was working at one hospital system. And I know we worked with in DC and we worked with a compounding pharmacist and they would always call us about, because for some reason they never saw any allergies from our so always mention your allergies. I feel like it's important because I feel like there's so many different ingredients and parts going on that it's important for you guys, for the pharmacist to know, I'm sure.
Yeah. So things like allergies, sensitivities, what have you tried before that has worked or hasn't worked?
Yeah.
And also, you know, not to harp on this too much, but experience is big. So if we're talking about dermatology, you want a pharmacy that probably deals with a lot of dermatology. So we received a prescription today, and one part of the prescription had tretinoin 0.5%. Well, that kind of set off an alarm in our head. We figured they probably meant 0.05% and not 0.5%, which would burn pretty bad, in my opinion. So we reached out to the dermatologist. Hey, did you really mean 0.05%? And they did. So, you know, the only reason we knew that was just because of experience in dermatology compounding. So you want to make sure that you go to a pharmacy that's going to be thorough in your medical history, your chronic conditions, your allergies, as well as a lot of experience in the specific field that you're getting compounded.
Yeah, exactly. One of the things that patients always ask me is, oh, if I go to a compounding pharmacy or if you send this over to the compounding pharmacy, how long is it going to typically take? I guess it depends on what you're doing too.
Now every pharmacy is different. And a lot of things have to be made. Some things that we make very frequently, we're able to batch ahead of time. And, you know, we know that we're going to be going through it. It can range a lot. I would say most pharmacies will be able to get things out either same day if the prescription comes early enough or within 1 or 2 days. And a lot of people get their medication shipped now to their home. So account for whether it's USPS or UPS or FedEx, you know, with the holiday season coming up, this may change in a few months. But, you know, account for from making the medication all the way to receiving it at your door, anywhere from 2 to 4 days, I would say. Great. And that's really really us, best. You know, that can vary greatly across.
Right. That's great. Anything else that you would like to share about compounding pharmacy, about your experience as a compounding pharmacist?
Yeah, so I'm pretty much an open book. I love to talk about this stuff. You know, what I would share is more so my contact information if anyone has, you know, questions, you know, even about their compounding pharmacy. I'm happy to be an open book and definitely answer. Absolutely, you know, you have to trust where you're going, especially if your doctor just hands you a prescription for a compound. Do your homework. Look for a PCAP pharmacy. My information is free to share. Yeah. So feel free to, anyone listening to this, reach out. I'm more than happy to help.
Yes, and we're going to post your information on our website as well as Instagram and our Twitter page as well. Just for our listeners, if you have any questions, you can reach out to Jack or myself, and I can forward your information to Jack as well to help answer your questions more about compounding pharmacy and compounding medications.
Well, that's all we have for this week's episode. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Skin the Surface Pod, or subscribe to our webpage at www.skinthesurfacepod.com. Stay safe and healthy, podcasters.